All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalms 82. Psalms 82. We want to read that chapter. Psalm 81. I correct myself there. Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Now, I simply want to title this little study tonight like this: How does God get our attention? How does God get our attention? There's a number of ways he gets our attention. And according to Psalms 81, I don't know whether you noticed it or not when we went through there, but God's desire for his people is to have his people listen to him. That's very important. Listen to God. That's what it's all about. Listening to God. Now, we said about the title to this is, How Does God Get Our Attention? In the Old Testament days, God spoke to men and women in various ways. Some of those ways are a little bit different than how he speaks to us today. Some of them are the same. Back then, it was direct revelation. What do we mean by that? How did we get the scriptures? God spoke to men who, by pen of inspiration, put down what he wanted, and now we have the complete revealed word of God. So direct revelation. Also dreams. Remember, he would speak to people through the dreams. His written word, of course, because it wasn't too long into the history even of Israel, or a little bit beyond that, that they had the scriptures, the Old Testament, first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses, called the Pentateuch, and then also through the prophets. Well, how did he speak through the prophets? Well, actually, he told the prophets what to tell the people. So it was the same as God speaking himself. And then, of course, also through circumstances. He also revealed himself, or God spoke to men and women in that way also. Back then, he also spoke to them through angels. You can think of a couple of accounts where that was done. He spoke to men and women through the angels. Then today, God speaks through different avenues, and not all of those that we already mentioned does God speak to us anymore. There are no prophets. There's now preachers and pastors and teachers and evangelists. But God still speaks through his word, and we can also say he speaks through his son, who is the living word. Hebrews 1:1 tells us that. And now we have the complete revealed Word of God. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, and in telling them, he was telling us, I will not leave you comfortless. I will leave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within each and every one of us once we are born again and we're saved. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all the truth. The Holy Spirit also makes intercession for us to the Father on high when we really don't know how to pray or what to put into words. He makes intercession for us. So, through the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. He speaks through other people. He speaks through other people. We'll see that as we go through our study tonight. And, of course, he speaks through circumstances, the same as he did in the Old Testament. So let's go on from there and see how God gets our attention today. You will remember this first one from the book of Esther. If you want to turn to that a while, the first one is a restless spirit. He speaks to us through a restless spirit. You say, my goodness, that's getting a little spooky, isn't it? No, it isn't, and you'll see that it certainly is not. But you'll find in Esther, and it's going to be in chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, and it's going to be verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Now, what was that all about? Well, here's a beautiful example of how God gets our attention through a restless spirit. That's exactly what this king had, and this king wasn't even a believer, but God used it to get his attention. King Ahasuerus, I guess that's how you pronounce it, and I've heard it pronounced a couple different ways, but that's how we're going to go with it tonight. He had been tricked into signing a law which would allow the murder of all Jews in the land. He was tricked into that. Haman hated the Jews, especially Esther's relative, Mordecai. And he hated him because Mordecai would not bow down to him. He would not do it under any circumstances. So that night, the king could not sleep. He had a restless spirit. He commanded that the books of the records, which we read, or the Chronicles, be brought and read to him. Well, what exactly was that? Well, that was a record of everything that ever happened in the time that he was king. And of course, he found, after this man sat down to read this to him, he found that Mordecai had earlier saved his life by reporting a plot by two men to kill the king. In the end, Haman was killed instead of Mordecai, and all this started with a restless spirit, which God caused to come upon even an unbeliever. That's amazing. Maybe someone here today, I don't know, maybe you have a restless spirit. Why not stop and ask God what he's trying to say to you? Maybe he's trying to get your attention and talk to you about something. That's a possibility there. The other interesting thing about this restless spirit, isn't it interesting, with all these chronicles, and I mean they had a library with everything that was ever recorded. Isn't it amazing, not to us believers, but maybe to everybody else, isn't it amazing about the man that was going to read it, pulled down just the right scroll or volume and opened it up right to the place where God wanted the king to hear? That's amazing, but that's how God works. And he gets our attention through restless spirit, just like back then, he still does it today. The next one that we want to look at is found in 2 Samuel, and this would be chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we'll turn to that a while, And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we'll read the first seven verses of that. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress. For the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Look at verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Well, how can God get our attention today? A word from others. A word from others. It's exactly what happened here with David. We know the story. David had sinned against God with Bathsheba, and he had killed Uriah, her husband. And he had shown, he had not shown any outward conviction of his sin. Like I've often said when I've preached this message about this particular sin, it went at least, we know, had to go 9 months because the child was already born that Bathsheba conceived from David. And he didn't think anything of repenting for that sin. Just seemed to go on, and he wasn't even convicted. If he was, he didn't show it. So God sent a prophet Nathan to speak to him. Verse 7 said, thou art the man. Verse 13, thank God, David confessed his sin, and he repented. Well, maybe somebody has rebuked you. How did you handle such a word from others? Proverbs repeatedly says that a man who cannot take criticism or reproof is destined for failure. But it also says that he who learns to receive godly rebuke will succeed. So that's something for all of us to remember also. Now, we must be careful in this regard. Let me emphasize this. Not all rebuke is warranted, nor is all rebuke godly. Keep that in mind. Not all of it is right. Solomon's son, if you remember, which was David's, Solomon was David's son, but Solomon's son Rehoboam desired counsel from the elders in regard to a great burden that existed at that time since he took over from his father. He then went to his own associates, not the former elders of his father, to seek a second opinion. He listened to the advice of his own generation, can we say? And it turned out to be one of the biggest tragic mistakes that ever could have been made. The nation of Israel was split, and it was divided for many, many years. And it was divided, northern and southern kingdoms. And therefore, I think we must learn to carefully examine both the message and the messenger when it comes to rebuke or somebody supposedly trying to help us. Ask God for the final decision. Best way to do it. Number three. How else does he speak to us? Go back to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, And we'll look at one verse there. Romans, here we go. Romans 2, verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? What are we saying there? God speaks to us through blessings. He blesses us and he speaks to us through blessings. God can use unusual, abundant blessings to get our attention. The blessings may come as spiritual. The blessings might come as financial. They might have to do with our home. It might have to do with our vocation. All of those things can be involved. He doesn't get everyone's attention. Some, quite frankly, would not be able to handle such a method without getting puffed up. And God knows that too. I've had people say to me, nobody has said it here, so don't get the idea that anybody's ever said it here. If they did, I don't remember. But I've had people say, boy, preacher, whoo, look at that lottery number, that there Powerball, man. I just want you to know, pastor, if I win that, the church isn't going to have any more worries at all. And right away I pray, Lord, please don't let them win it. You know how the Lord blesses? He blesses through people who other people look at and think, boy, that church isn't going to survive. There is no millionaires in that church. Well, guess what? Here's an example as how God blesses, and he does meet the need through just ordinary people. I don't know of any millionaires that are sitting in these seats at any time in the past. Maybe there were, but they're gone now, so I don't know anything about that. So, God sees our future and our present. Blessings are a way in which God uses to cause us to fall in love with him. I could tell you story after story, and you probably get tired of hearing it because I told it before, but how we got the hymn books is because somebody else was blessed, so they passed a blessing on to us. How we got the soundboard, the new one, because somebody was blessed, they passed a blessing on to us. How we got the carpet, same way, and I could go on and on and on. So, here's another one that we need to look at. How does God get our attention? Now, this one here, not everybody necessarily likes, but he gets our attention that way sometimes. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Check 2 Corinthians 12, and we want to look at verse 7, familiar passage. This is Paul speaking. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why would God do that? Well, he gives the answer. Lest I should be exalted above measure. And it goes on to say in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. How does God get our attention sometimes? Through what we think is unanswered prayer. He prayed three times. He didn't get it. Well, he got an answer, but it's not the one he was looking for. But in that sense, it was an unanswered prayer. He asked three times for that thorn to be removed. When our petitions to the Lord seem to be unanswered, it may be because of a number of reasons. We know Paul's reason. God told us. And for all of history, we read about it. What are some of the reasons that they're not answered? Well, maybe we were asking for the wrong reason. Maybe disobedience. Maybe out of the will of God. Maybe unconfessed sin. And those are all reasons for God not to answer our prayers. All of those. Peter even says that unanswered prayers can be a result out of insensitivity in a marriage. You can read about that also. Often God will not grant our petitions because he knows it will cause us to drift either even further from his will. There's another reason that it might go unanswered. Satan, on the other hand, is eager to answer to everything that will cause us to remain out of God's will. Paul learned a valuable lesson from his unanswered prayers. Maybe we need some time to also do the same, learn from unanswered prayers. Now, another one, number five. Go back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We want to go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. In Numbers 14, we want to look at verse number 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place where the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Well, sometimes he gets our attention, just like he did with these people, through disappointment. Well, now, what is this story? What's this revealing to us? We only read a couple of verses. Well, in Numbers 13, Israel voted to not believe God. Now, you read that on your own. They voted not to believe God. Wasn't that brilliant? But that's what they did. They refused to enter into the promised land. God then told Moses of what would befall all of the men and women during the 40 years in the wilderness. The people of Israel were sadly disappointed because of the word of the Lord. Maybe there had been some great disappointment in your life recently. Maybe you have wondered, God, what in the world is going on? Why have you allowed this dreaded thing to happen to me? Don't blame God for your disappointments in life or disappointment of your life. Remember, Job was tempted. In fact, his wife even told him, why don't you just curse God and die? And he didn't do it. Well, where did that come from? It certainly didn't come from God. That was the doing of the Satan, not the Lord. And Job responded to that. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I guess the wisest response when disappointments come our way is to, as God's, what he is trying to ask God, what he's trying to teach us. That's basically, there was a conversation eventually between Job and God. The three friends, two of them didn't help him much. And when you really study it out, one was trying to help him, but he didn't realize it. Maybe we shouldn't go to God and say, we shouldn't say, why God? Rather, we should respond, what God? What do you want me to do? What are you trying to do here to get my attention? That would be more of a proper response as far as disappointment. Number six, Exodus 3. In Exodus chapter 3, let's get to that. Pages are sticking today. Must be this weather. Exodus 3, we're going to look at verse number 1. It says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That'll get your attention. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Well, now I would say that this is a different kind of a way that God speaks to us. I would say this was unusual circumstances. And sometimes he does get our attention by unusual circumstances. I'm sure Moses had seen a lot of fires and probably lots of burning bushes, but they were burned up. But never had he seen a bush that was burning and was not consumed. Never. It was this unusual circumstance that got Moses' attention. Maybe God has allowed something unusual to get your attention recently. Maybe something on the job or in your neighborhood. Maybe God allowed you to experience something unpleasant or joyous. God knows how to get our attention. We should be ever mindful of his variety of ways. And he has a variety of ways to get our attention. Number 7, you'll find in the book of Joshua. Joshua and then Judges, of course. Joshua chapter 7 is where we want to go first. Joshua chapter 7. And we want to look at verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the cursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And he returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make it not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto to Shenbarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us under the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our names from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. What's another way gets our attention? Failure. Just the simple word, failure. After a great victory, and you know this story, after a great victory in Jericho, remember that? The Israelites were courageous, I think one of the things that they missed is they didn't realize who delivered it to them. They didn't do it in their own power. It was God. However, at Ai, they suffered great defeat. Why? There was sin in the camp. There was failure. Sin in the camp. Achan had trespassed against God. And though he may have hidden it from the majority of the people, maybe all of them, God knew there was sin in the camp. So another way, failure. Number 8, Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Two references here. 6:1 it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Then look at Judges number 17. 17:6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Financial collapse. Financial collapse. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes, God will get your attention. When did the people cry out to God? When he took away every material thing that they had. Did it say they were taken captive for what? 7 years? Do you think that the ones that took them captive allowed them to keep everything that they owned? He got their attention. Financial collapse. The same thing occurs time and time again, I believe, in our lives, if we are not cautious and careful. Then another one, we only have two more to go here. Number 9, go back to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Let's begin reading at verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel, what? Died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So how can he get our attention sometimes? Tragedy. Tragedy. Now think back over time. Really, not too far back in our history, how God, I believe, used tragedy to get the attention of the United States of America. And for a while, people were excited, and they said droves of people after the Twin Towers came down. People were going to church, some of them that never went to church before. Too bad it didn't hold or take. But God got our attention. He got the nation's attention with that tragedy. I think, again, he even got the nation's attention with COVID. I think there's another way that he got our attention. It certainly taught us a lot of things, didn't it? It even taught us some things about the people in power and proper ways to act and react in improper ways. That should teach us something too. The next time we have the opportunity to vote people into office, that will do the right thing. The last one is found in 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And we want to look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 32, 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was a wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. So how can God also get our attention? Now, this isn't always the case. Understand that. But he can get our attention to speak to us through sickness and affliction. Sickness and affliction. Read the story of Hezekiah to make it clear. We're only reading certain portions here. Now remember, I don't think that sickness and affliction and tragedy is not always a result of sin. Understand that. Don't think that. But often it is. But only God knows that in the heart of the person that's being involved. I told the story many times. I was called, somebody's in the hospital. Oh, wow, what's going on? Now, you know, don't be like some people and go in and you know a little bit about the person that you're going in there to see, and because they gave you a prayer request, and you go in there and you say to them, ha ha, I know why you're here. You don't know why they're there. Only God and they may know why they're there. But I have gone and stood by the hospital bed of people that as soon as I got in there, they started to cry, men and women alike. I said, oh my, what's the matter? Pastor, I have to be honest with you. I believe because of this, this, and this, God has put me here to get my attention. And he has. And I say to them, well, you would know. That's between you and God. But then why don't you talk to God about that? And I'll pray with you. Talk to him about it if you know or think that is why you were here. They told me, I didn't tell them, because I wouldn't know. They would. You understand? In 2 Chronicles 32, which we read, we see that Hezekiah was a godly king and God blessed him. However, in verse 24 and 25, we see that Hezekiah was suddenly struck down with illness. Why? Well, God gained his attention concerning his pride. And how did he get his attention? Through the illness that he allowed to come upon him. When we pray for the healing of people, we should pray for discernment as well. God often uses illness and afflictions to cause people to examine their lives, like the men and women that I just told you about without giving names that I went to see in the hospital. It was time for them to examine their lives, get things straight and right between themselves and God. Well, let's wrap this up. God doesn't use the same methods on everyone. He knows exactly what we need. I don't believe in chance or coincidences. I don't believe in that. God is still in control. He knows it all. He is sovereign. He is righteous. So We need to pray that we will be sensitive to his way of getting our attention. And we need to have that discernment. Is God trying to get my attention? If he is, then let him get your attention. Find out what he is trying to tell you or speak to you about. Amen? Best thing that we can do. Let's pray.